want to honor the Lord this morning in a mighty understanding of His grace, His ways far exceed ours. They are higher and not always understood. When the Lord begins to work in us, we search for how He can manifest our plan. Our plan for our lives, our plan for our desires, our plan for everything that we conceive as God. The sneaky part of it is that when we were created in the heavens, our Heavenly Father had a perfect plan for us. Until we reach that coordinate, and we become in spirit capable and willing to humble ourselves and let His plan unfold and let our plan slowly die away, can there be harmony? Over the years, the Lord has dealt with me in multiples of levels about dreams that I've had. Dreams created by people. Not always comprehending. But trying for the high calling. Even religious-minded people, well-intentioned people, purposing to release words into our hearts to satisfy their own plan of salvation for us. Rather than the eternal plan. A few weeks ago, I spoke to you, I'm living eternity now. I spoke to you on letting the eternal plan unfold. It's difficult for us to comprehend how an eternal plan coordinated by God in the heavens can unfold in this earth amongst all the garbage that's going on. And usually I get focused on the natural. The things I see, the things that I taste, the things that I feel, the feelings, the emotions, the circumstances, and the challenges. I want to show you the corporate anointing at work. A couple of months ago, the Lord showed me a picture on the internet that confirmed the word that had been given to this church, this believing church, this house of prayer group, this little tiny construction that God is purposing to put together. And He showed me a painting on the internet that coordinated what I could not have constructed to release to me an understanding that we were to be like a group of grapes. And I didn't understand what He was trying to show us. Over and over, the Lord kept bringing back grapes. And then finally, when this picture was seen on the internet, there was an understanding because of a little write-up underneath, written by this author. And it gave me an impact to where I called one of my friends and I said, this is God confirming what he said to us through multiples of ways, but we just didn't catch on. This morning, he's done the same thing again. He's confirmed his word with actions. Because the very picture I saw on the internet is on top of a book that we ordered, which I haven't read yet. And I didn't know it was on there. And then the Lord moved on an individual to buy a special bread for us today. And then one of Peggy's relatives gave us a new bottle of wine, or a wine bottle, a decanter. And I was stunned to see it come together this day. And the bread this day. Now, the bread is sourdough bread. Is Jesus capable of taking care of the sour parts of you and me? What is sour to his flavor? My thoughts, my ways, my actions, that is all sour, isn't it? Because it really is not his created best for me. So can you understand why he would choose sourdough bread today? Maybe to tell us he took on my infirmities. He took on the parts of me that are still sour towards God and his plan for my life. Didn't he take every infirmity on his body and carried it to the tree? Could he have taken my sour attitude towards others and towards myself? Ministering to a young man yesterday morning who decided that he didn't want to live anymore, so he decided to take a nice bunch of pills. Yeah, here's the answer. Here's the answer. I'm just going to take a bottle of pills and end it all. And then he dares to call me and ask me, well, what do you think? Will I go to hell now that I took these? Was he sour? Yes. He's sour on life. He's been eating sour bread that has not been hidden or laying on the cross. Hand it over to the Lord. So we took all of his hurts and we brought them to Jesus. And we released him to Jesus. And all of his hopelessness and all of the garbage that had been laid down in his heart. Because some of his thought patterns were, I could get in the tub and slice my wrists and there would be no mess in the house. Talk about sour. So we pray. And we ask Jesus to forgive. And we pull down the blockage. We ask the Lord for grace. And if in case you think I could skip over, it's over 1,300 miles away. But is it too hard for God? 1,300 miles is not a problem for God's angels. They were there in 2 seconds. Spoke again last night. Same individual. Having me promise not to reveal to anyone in his family his heart condition. Not physical, but emotional. And I said, what you share with me dies with me. Because we gave it to Jesus. So stop fearing that I'm going to expose your weakness. And I'm not going to. But I will expose you to Jesus. I believe the corporate anointing is alive and well today. And new wine has been delivered to us in a new decanter. A new understanding of his grace and of his mercy. and a new understanding that He is the living bread. I was reading this morning, and I could take you there, but in John, Jesus is having a conversation with the Jews. They're giving Him their opinion. What our fathers, they received manna every day. Were they still sour? The Israelites were the most sorrowful, poor thinking people that you could conceive when you look at them with an objection of how could they be so blasted sour after God took them through the Red Sea, delivered them on Passover. He did so much for them. He got rid of Pharaoh. He got rid of the army. He got rid of their horses, their chariots, and still they were what? And He says to them, He's saying to the Jews, you're depending on Moses and what Moses taught, and you still can't see Me. And then He said to them, I am the bread of life. I am the one that will take your sourness away. I am the one that's going to challenge you to wake up. That while you're being sour, you're not feeding on Me. Would you bow your head, please? Say, Lord Jesus, if my life is sour towards You, if I've been focused on me and not on Your plan for me, take the sourness away today. Take the sadness out of me and the hopelessness and the depression. Because it doesn't come from You. It comes from my enemy. But You conquered him. You tied him up. He can't do anything unless I let him. Forgive me for my unbelief. I repent today. I change my mind and my attitude. And all my complaining, I lay it down on the cross today. In Jesus' name I pray. Multiples of times. When I prayed those prayers, I managed to survive another 24, sometimes 36, sometimes 48. But then the enemy says, why don't you look at your circumstances? Why don't you look at the place that hurts so bad? Why don't you check this out? Make sure that a professional opinion will come so that you'll know what's wrong with you. So you'll go to the flesh, and you'll get to Egypt, and then you'll deposit your finances at Egypt's feet, and they will give you their solution, and you bypass the one that laid His life out to set you free. How sour is that? It says, seek ye first the kingdom, and all these things shall be what? Dropped by the wayside. Well, that's our version sometimes, because that's what our actions speak, rather than the choice of going to Him. I remember one of my first decisions to give the Lord the opportunity to set me free from an incredible cold. I had a flu bug that was unbelievable. My head had about 1,000 degrees more than needed. I couldn't breathe, and my nose was like a faucet that you couldn't shut down. And I began to declare the word of the Lord. And as I declared the word of the Lord, I got accused by my best and closest family members. You're out of your tree. You're nuts. Can't you see you got a cold? No, I don't have a cold. I got a bunch of symptoms and they're going to go. Because they don't come from God. Because I'm not accepting them. Well, doesn't the pile of Kleenex next to you speak loud and clear? Yes, dear. They are speaking that I have some symptoms that are definitely on the run. Okay? So I fought this for a day and a half. And it came with multiples of levels of confirming voices. In case you don't know it, Kim, you should take a couple of aspirins and go to bed. We have some new cough medicine I just bought. Could you take some, please, so that you won't cough all over the place? And I kept responding, by the stripes of Jesus I was healed. 1 Peter 2:24, that's God's promise. Psalm 103, he forgives me of all my sins and he heals me of all my diseases. That includes colds, that includes all those symptoms that are bugging my body. All those symptoms. So I went to work the next morning. Being a furniture dealer meant my office desk was full of papers and I had to get the box of Kleenex, one for each side. Because it still was fully in blossom. The aroma was not pleasant. And the phone rings. And it's one of my wife's girlfriends. My voice is raspy. The throat is swollen. The nose is just literally unbelievable. And I said, good morning, this is Parker Furniture. And it didn't sound anything like that right now. It sounded more, good morning, this is Parker Furniture. And it was all stuffy. And she says to me, Kim, you have a terrible cold. And I slammed my fist on my desk and I said, no, I don't. I've been healed by the stripes of Jesus. And you've been part of this prayer group. And by golly, I am not sick. And as I said those words, something triggered inside of me. And every symptom went away. And I could feel, you know, when you've got like a bad cold and you take medicine and finally the symptoms are lifted, but you still got the cold. Well, guess what? The Holy Ghost gospel worked. And it delivered me. Every symptom was gone. And guess what? Nobody noticed that I came home that night without the box of Kleenex next to me. Nobody noticed that I didn't have the raspy voice. Nobody noticed that I was feeling great. Not one individual said, gee, you're feeling better. Not one. The corporate anointing has been working in the wrong direction. It's confirming all your sicknesses. And you're under the wrong anointing when you listen to that garbage. And you need to get the Holy Ghost anointing to declare what God has said about you. And about your symptoms. Am I angry? Yes, I'm angry. I'm angry at the enemy that has deceived the church and can't stand on the Word of God to make sure that it comes to pass. You say, faith without works is dead. Yes, faith without your actions is not going to work. You can make promises all day long. This is the bread of life and it's going to stay there as dead as can be. But if you believe that it's the body and blood of Jesus Christ, what is going to happen? Your sourness will be what? Huh? He took my sourness away. He took my anger away. He took my resentment away. He took my abusive ways away. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You know, when I see the miserable condition of how we still act and react before our God, it saddens my heart. When there's so much anger that has been built up over the years and it finally starts to come up and we don't deal with it, what happens? You don't get the change, do you? My sister was blessed because she was on the phone with me on Wednesday morning, and I shared with her a dream, and in the dream, someone who is very angry with me and bitter towards me is identified. And she begins to chuckle. You know that she has that little chuckle on the phone. Yeah, I'm talking about Pastor Iman. And she says, "That's what I taught on last night, on anger." And I said, "Oh." And so we chit-chatted, and we prayed for the one that's angry with me. And we repented for that person. Do you understand? Our priesthood was joined together. We agreed that Jesus was forgiving that person of all their anger and resentment towards me. And that God was more than able to heal that person like he's healing me. That's your priesthood before Jesus Christ. Isn't it say in 1 Peter that we are a kingdom of priests and kings? Everybody wants to be a king. But before you get to be a king, you have to be a priest. Yeah. You have to be a priest. You have to take on those sins of your enemies. They can't stand you. Haven't you got a clue yet? But it's God's plan to set them free using you to intercede for them. Using you and you and you together, corporately, to become what you could never become on your own. He said, "Well, I feel all alone because nobody wants to agree with me." Guess what? We're going to be responding to this a little bit later. Amen? Forgot to shut it off, so forgive me. Maybe this is an intermission by God, huh? You just join hands with your neighbor. Say, "Lord Jesus, as a corporate house of prayer, we join ourselves together as one voice for those who are angry with us, those that are bitter towards us, those that are decided to really dump us because we don't match their plan for our lives. They want to control us. They want to determine a new path. But God has a plan. A mighty, mighty plan of salvation for them, using me to intercede for them. Not just you. My job too. I will be a priest in the lineup of Jesus Christ. Because when he was on that tree, there was a lot of his enemies visible. And he said, "Lord Father, please don't hold this sin against them." And I've got quite a few that are angry with me. And I'm going to repeat the words from the Lord. He is the high priest. And I'm choosing now to set them free. Those who have abused me and accused me falsely I purpose to set them free.
I purpose to set
and please, Father God,
and please, Father God,
do not hold any sin against them.
I set them free.
And I repent for their anger.
I repent for their bitterness.
I repent for their sourness. Sweeten them up, Lord. Just like you're doing with me. And it'll be on the day appointed. Not the day that I determine. Amen? And amen. I believe today that the Lord, being kind to us, transitions us from what we were to what He wants us to be. So I'm going to take you a little bit deeper, because I'm pressed to hold this for a little while. I think you need to take a good look at it, because it's speaking. It's speaking a visual of who we are. I want to take you with me to Joel chapter 3. I don't know how much of chapter 3 I'm going to give you, but I am going to let you know that that's the word He gave me today. I know that verse 14 is where we're going to touch. Multitudes, multitudes in the valley of decision. Multitudes. Multitudes in the valley of decision. For the day of the Lord is near. In the valley of decision, the sun and the moon will be darkened, and the stars no longer shine. The Lord will roar from Zion. Now, a few weeks ago, I taught you on what Zion was. It is the high hill inside of the city of Jerusalem, a most holy place. Amen. Then you will know that I, the Lord your God, dwell in Zion, my holy hill. Jerusalem will be holy. Never again will foreigners invade her. That was verse 17. It is a blessing for God's people. Verse 17. Then you will know that I, the Lord your God, dwell in Zion, my holy hill. Jerusalem will be holy. Never again will foreigners invade her. In that day, the mountains will drip old wine. Really? How many Bibles do you have that says old wine?
None.
Okay. So the word is new wine. And the hills will flow with milk. All the ravines in Judah will run with water. A fountain will flow out of the Lord's house and will water the valleys of Acacia. A fountain will flow out of the Lord's house. John chapter 14 says, I am going to prepare a house, a place, a dwelling place for you. And now, here he's giving us a foretaste of the new day. A fountain will flow out of the Lord's house. What is that living water that's going to come out of that fountain? It's going to come out of the rivers of life that are inside of you. All right? Now, the functioning of the house of prayer is based right now in Chicopee. How many of you live in Chicopee? One spurt of the fountain lives in Chicopee. Isn't that awesome? It's going to sprinkle Chicopee out of that fountain. How many of you live close by in the perimeter of Chicopee? That Chicopee touches your city. Ludlow? Springfield? Springfield? Okay, so now look at what happens. The next sprouts of that fountain are touching all around. Now, how many of you live outside of those two perimeters? There you go. I live in Palmer. You guys live in East Long Meadow. Amen? Okay. Palmer is an outflow from Ludlow. You're an outflow from Springfield. And look what God is doing. And we've got one that's splashing all over Northampton. And out of Florence. Do you understand what God is saying? What is a fountain? It's a multitude of shots of living water coming out of you. Because each one of you, if you could see an overview of your prayer life, touching your neighborhoods, touching your city, what would happen? You'd get a vision of a fountain. And it starts and has its base right here. Why did he choose here? Because he chose it. How long are we supposed to be here? That's up to the Lord. It's not up to me. It's up to him. But if we do our job and we do our work diligently, he will not only honor us, but he will bless your community. He'll bless your neighborhood, and he'll bless you in spite of all the hurt that you had. 19. But Egypt will be desolate. Edom a desert waste, because of violence done to the people of Judah, in whose land they shed innocent blood. Judah will be inhabited forever, and Jerusalem through all generations. Their blood guilt, this is awesome, their blood guilt, which I have not pardoned, I'm going to change my mind. God is saying, I'm going to change my mind. I will pardon. And the Lord will dwell in Zion. The Lord will pardon, and the Lord will dwell in Zion. The very first night that I taught on what Zion really meant, the Lord began to take me back many years. Took me back to my early 20s. How many know you can be prophesying and you have no clue? Okay. On my way to Canada on Monday, I was nudged of the Lord to share with my mom some of what God did on that Friday night of the Feast of Tabernacles. And I began to share with her about how I wept all the way home. Because God was teaching me about Zion. And he was teaching through my mouth. Did you hear me? He was teaching through my mouth. His word was coming out of my inner man. And I was hearing some things for the first time. Now you say, has that happened to you before? Yes. Does it happen often? as often as he wants. I'm on Ludlow Road. And all of a sudden, I'm hearing a song that I haven't heard many, many years. Sharing this with Mom, I said, do you remember this French song that I used to sing in the choir? And I related to her the name of the song, and she said, yes. That was, and she said, commenting right away, she said, oh yeah, that was a precious song. And I said, yeah, I know. But I had no clue what I was singing. I said, by the way, Mom, it's right out of Isaiah. That whole song is out of Isaiah, prophesying about a bride for the bridegroom. And it's really the daughters of Zion is really the sons of my father coming together, reaching together to become a bride for his son, Jesus Christ. And that's what the words of the song were in French, of course, because that's how I learned it. And I remember one of my dad's buddies, who was also in the choir with me for a few years. And I happened to be there for over 25 years, so got a little bit of history there. When he passed away, his wife said, that was his favorite song, Kim. Would you mind singing it when we have the service for him? And now my brain is being jarred because I can't remember the words. I can't. I can only remember the refrain. So I began to sing this refrain on the Ludlow Road, Red Bridge area, weeping like a child, because now I know what I was prophesying. And Mom says, do you remember the words now? And I said, yes. So I began to sing it for her. And now the two of us are weeping because we're prophesying to Canada. Because you see, the Zion of God is for the Canadians too. And by the way, if you listen to this message on the internet in Canada, may a blessing of God go to you. Because the song is, bear with me. Fille de Sion, réjouis-toi, car le Seigneur est en toi, en vaillant sauveur. So I sang that little refrain to Mom. And it's really saying, daughter of Zion, rejoice, for the Lord is within you as you wait for your victory. As you wait for your Savior, for your salvation. This fountain will touch Canada. This fountain will touch Mexico. This fountain will touch every state in the Union. This fountain will touch Europe, Asia, Africa. This fountain will bring life wherever death and sourness have been ruling. As I continue to search my heart and continue to ask the Lord, can I really understand what this priesthood was going to do? Can I really comprehend what he wants to do with me and you? Have your little vision of yourself been so skinny that all you see is what I want and what I need? Or can you expand your vision just a little bit and take a few neighbors into your heart?
Take a few neighbors into your tent. That's what Tabernacles is. It's a tent. It's a place where you can bring in a few extras.
Like maybe the irritated kid that bugs you all week long in school.
Yeah.
I remember my teenage years. They were the most miserable years because of the abuse. Abuse. Abuse.
Yeah.
How many tasted abuse in their teenage years? 13 to 19. Come on, put your hand up. Look around, kids. Look around at each other. Why? Because you didn't match their plan. You didn't dress with the right clothes. You didn't have the right smile. Your hair wasn't the way they wanted it. And you competed to make yourself what? Acceptable. The fear of rejection has a thriving population. Picks on those kids. Starts when they're very young, and its abusive ways increase as we get a little older. And it heightens to a place where it's almost unbearable. 14, 15, 16, 17, horrible years. Horrible, and they count them as wasted. I count them as construction. I remember first time I held this guy a few months back and the brokenness in him. And I kept hearing one thing. He starved for love. I shared that with his mom and his stepdad. They've been doing a marvelous job because now he has a smile most of the time. Looking for more. Why does he have to have a couple of extra hugs? Because he starved for love. Yeah. That includes the girls too, doesn't it, sweetheart? You know, tough space when you're growing up and you're questioning your own sanity because you don't match those around you. You don't act like them, you don't react like them, because you belong to whom? A different king. Your priesthood is being stretched. You're praying for some of those people that don't like you, right, Ethan? Yeah. What is this life all about? It's letting Jesus take that sourness away from us. Bow your heads, please. Say, Lord Jesus, create in me a new heart so that I will be aware of the magnitude of this corporate anointing that is so needed in my life and in the body of Christ. Amen.
Amen.